This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To all the listeners of Channel Islam International, we welcome you. The debate today is on differences between the Shia school of thought and the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. It is gone for many years. There are pertinent differences. And anyone who tried to hoodwink you that there's no such differences, you'll find out tonight that there are major and pertinent differences. The debate, as the word suggests, is confrontational by nature. There is no declaration of brotherhood. Brotherhood is universal for every ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I embrace even every single other person in Itwatwa as my brother. But it's a different type of brotherhood. We're not discussing the constitution of a country where we embrace even things like abortion and we embrace homosexuality because everyone has a right and has to say what he has to say. We will embrace it according to the truth of the glorious Quran and Majid and the Sunnah, not at the expense of the Quran and the Sunnah. According to the Quran and Sunnah. But we won't be done at the expense of the Quran and Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. The brother that is representing the Shia school of thought is no stranger to Channel Islam International. Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Husseini has been to our studio in the past and has had a discussion at length on the topic of the day of Ashura with the respectable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. So his voice is not alien to the listeners of Channel Islam. They would recognize him, inshallah. And also with us for the first time is Maulana Taha Karan. He studied in India and in the institutions out there, went to study in Egypt, presently based in Cape Town. And alhamdulillah, tonight we will listen to his elaborations on the differences between Shia and the Sunni school of thought. Jazakallah khairan for allowing us this opportunity. And alhamdulillah to the many people sitting out there. I could just very quickly say, if my time is not up as yet, Maulana, to the listeners out there, since we are into radio, it's a wonderful atmosphere here at the Women for Peace Hall. Quite a few brothers here from Itwatwa and many other areas. A few from Actonville and Rainswood. Our mothers and sisters are with us here as well today, inshallah. And we certainly hope we're going to have a wonderful discussion. Jazakumullah khairan.
Thank you, Brother Ibrahim Gangat, for that wonderful introduction. Now, the subjects under discussion will be covering the following areas. There are namely six areas. Time permitting, we shall cover each and every one of them. But the format will be as follows. For the subjects is first the tahrif of the Quran, which will be discussed. Then it will be the authority of the Ahlul Bayt in the light of Quran and Sunnah. The third topic will be imamah in the light of Quran and Sunnah. The fourth is the Sahaba Kiram in the light of Quran and Sunnah. And the fifth is taqiyya, which is subterfuge. And number six is muta, its legal status in Islam. Now we begin with the first subject, which is tahrif of the Quran. I shall give each speaker 15 minutes. The first speaker will be His Eminence Maulana Taha Kiran, who will speak for 15 minutes. Then Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Husseini will be given another 15 minutes for a rebuttal. And then the subject will go on for an hour. And that is how we will go on to the next topic and on to the next topic, inshallah al-Aziz. So it is now my pleasure to call on His Eminence, Maulana Taha Kiran, to speak for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We have decided to start with the topic of Tahrif al-Qur'an for no reason other than the fact that the Qur'an is the fountainhead of all our knowledge of deen. Whatever there is that has come to us from Allah Ta'ala's side is embodied within this Qur'an. And it's only when the authenticity of this Qur'an is established beyond the fact and that it is established that both schools of thought believe and have always believed in the authenticity of the Qur'an, that we can continue on to other subjects. The fact of the matter from our point of view is that as far as the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is concerned, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah were the persons responsible from the very inception of the history of Islam for the preservation of this text. It was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who learned this Quran from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They documented it in the time of Abu Bakr. They documented it again in the time of Uthman. They taught it to subsequent generations until what we have today. The Quran in its present state is revealed by Allah Ta'ala, taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Sahaba, to the community at large, and passed along by them from one generation to the other until what we have today. That is from the perspective of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. On the other hand, when you come to the Shia, and I'm speaking specifically of the Shia, Al-Imamiyya, Al-Ithna Ashariyya, because the word Shia is a general term, we need to restrict it. It's a generic term that includes many more sects than the sect represented by Sayyid Abdullah Husayni today. There are many other sects that are also covered by the name Shia. So we are speaking specifically about the Shia, Al-Imamiyya, Al-Ithna Ashariyya, also known as Al-Ja'fariyya. Within the Ja'fari school of thought, within the Imami school of thought, or the Ithna Ashari school of thought, we have reason to believe that everything has not been the same as it is in the school of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Why do we have reason to believe in terms of the authenticity of the Quran? We ask the question, have the Shia Ithna Ashariyya consistently for the past 1400 years believed the authenticity of this Quran as it is, or have they not? When we ask this question, where do we seek the answer? Do we seek the answer in asking a scholar such as Sayyid Abdullah Husayni? Do we seek the answer in reading a book of contemporary scholar or latter-day scholar such as Ayatollah Abul Qasim Al-Khoi? Or do we look to the classical legacy of the Ithna Ashari Imami school of thought? Where do we ask? Where do we refer this question to? If we should ask this question from a contemporary Shi'i alim, then I can already tell you what the answer is going to be. It won't be any surprise. Question has been asked, answers have been given, mushafs have been produced to show you that, look, we have no different mushaf from yours. The mushaf printed in Iran is exactly the same as the mushaf printed in Medina Munawwara. There's no difference. But that is not what it's all about. That is not what we speak of when we speak about the fact that within the Imami school of thought, there have been problems with the authenticity of the Holy Quran. And it is in that we would want to speak about. It had been brought to my notice before that it had been said that this topic could probably be covered within 5 minutes. I totally disagree with this contention. I totally disagree. Because this is a topic that could go on at length. And it's a very important topic because it lies at the very root of this religion of Islam. Much more than anything else, this particular question lies at the root of the religion of Islam. Belief in the authenticity of the Quran is sine qua non for being part of this Ummah of Islam. And if anyone casts doubts upon this particular authenticity of this text, if anyone beyond casting doubts rejects the authenticity of this text, then I'm sorry to say, he by his very act has taken himself out of the fold of Islam. I will restrict myself to this much for the introduction, because I would want to hear what my challenge on the other hand has to say about it before I continue.
But before I ask Sheikh Husseini to respond for 15 minutes, Maulana Kiran did not take his 15 minutes voluntarily, not that I stopped him, but I'm going to be giving you 15 minutes which you can avail. But before I do that, I would like to advise both the speakers that if you make any claim or either one of you make any claims about the other's belief system or whatever, that it would be advised that you give reference from that particular tradition. Thank you. Now I call upon Sheikh Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Husseini to speak for 15 minutes.
A'udhu billah minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونتوكل عليه innahu khayru nasirin wa mu'in. Summa salatu wa salamu ala khayri khalqih wa ashraf anbiya'ihi wa rusulih wa khatamul anbiya'i wal mursalin abil qasim al mustafa muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin wa ashabihi al-khiyarati al-muntajabin. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. I believe this meeting was supposed to be held something like 20 years ago. We are too late for having this auspicious gathering. And I believe this can be the first constructive step toward satisfying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in South Africa and elsewhere. The differences between Shia and Sunni school of thought is not something new. It has been there from the time of the demise of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It has been there. But why only in the last 25 years, 23 years, you are hearing about this? And it has been highlighted. And when you go to the history, we'll find out what happened 23 years ago. The greatest Islamic revolution of our century happened on 1979 in Iran. And that revolution was going to take over the whole world. The aim and objective of that revolution was freedom of Quds. And the aim objective of that revolution was bringing dignity to Islam. Imam Khomeini raised the flag of Islam in the century. The enemies who were very much threatened by that revolution, they start thinking, what can I do to stop this revolution? We have documentation, brothers and sisters, from the Embassy of America, which was captured by the students, that one of the documents which has been rearranged and reproduced was that the American administration has allocated $500,000 given to the embassy of them in Tehran to find the differences between Shias and Sunnis and highlight it. So they haven't come only to the Shia, to the Sunni brothers, telling them what Shia is thinking about. They have come to us also, to the Shia world also, telling to us also other distorted things, that like Sunni brothers, they don't like Ali, or they hate Ali, or they insult Ali, or they don't like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which that cannot be true. I know that cannot be true. But unfortunately, between the Sunni brothers, because of a lot of reasons, those areas which they highlighted worked. It worked. And I can see the effect of that even tonight. That the brother comes here and says, this is not a declaration of brotherhood. I don't blame the brother. The brother is doing it out of his pure sincerity for Allah and for Islam. And also, if I raise my hand to the brother, I extend my salam and I want to shake the hand of this brother, the brother refused to. It's effective. It has been effective what they have done. So they highlighted this differences. One of those differences are the distortion with Quran and tempering with Quran, which is tahrif of Quran. Now, I've got with me a pamphlet from Jamiatul Ulama. And this can be shown to the brother, and it's available, you can see. It's written Islamic Revolution of Iran, and then one portion on the top side, there is a reference which I want the chairman to read it, actually. Please, Brother Afiksha, if you can just read that first portion.
Sheikh Husseini has asked me to read from a pamphlet which is issued by the Al Jamiat Publications about the Quran, and I read what I read in the pamphlet. On the contrary, we say that so much of revelation has come down, which is not embodied in the present Quran, that if it were to be collected, its extent would be 17,000 verses. And the reference given here is to a book called A Shiite Creed, page 77. And then below it, in bold writing, the writer of this pamphlet says, incidentally, the Holy Quran contains 6,666 verses.
Okay. Now, I have got, fortunately, this book available with me. And it seems that the person who has given that reference has given the reference from the same book, because I can see that sentence is in this book. That sentence is in this book. I'm not denying that. You see, I'm not making taqir. It's there. Now, but if you look at the whole chapter, it starts from here, the belief concerning the extent of the Quran. And I also again request the brother Rafiq Shah, the chairperson, to read it for us, in case I may read it wrongly.
On the request of Sheikh Husseini, I read from the book which has been referred to. It is page 77, and I confirm it is chapter 33, and it is concerning the belief concerning the extent or the mablagh of the Holy Quran. And I quote, says Sheikh Abu Jafar, our belief is that the Quran which Allah revealed to His Prophet Muhammad is the same as the one between the two boards, the Fatain, and it is that which is in the hands of the people, and is not greater in extent than that. The number of surahs as generally accepted is 114, and according to us, Surah Wadduha, the morning surah, and Alam Nashrah, together they form one surah, and Alam Tara Kaifa, and Surah Fil, and Li Ilafi Quraysh, together form one surah. And he who asserts that we say that it is greater in extent than this, which is the present text, is a liar.
Okay. Now, you saw the reference has been given to you. If I was instead you, and if I did not have access to the book which I have got in my hand, I was going to also sincerely, like you brothers who hate me because I have another Quran, I was going to believe it. That yes, these people, they have got another Quran. Here, look at the book. It's given reference, page 77. But fortunately, I've got the book. Now, who is the writer of that book? That's very important. I want to answer the question of Maulana Taha Karan, which I really respect him because of the extent of his knowledge. I heard a lot about him. May Allah give him long life for service of Islam. This book is written by who? By Abu Ja'far, Shaykh Saduq. Shaykh Saduq is Shaykhul Muhaddisin. He is the closest Muhaddis to the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the time of the 11th Imam. He actually, in some of the narrations that we have, he has find so dignity that when he died, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam came to his grave and also written something and called him his brother. Such a person, which is such an early history of Islam, has got this book writing, and in that book it is written that the belief of Ahlul Bayt school of thought concerning the Quran and its extent is the same of the belief of our Sunni brothers. The number of the chapter is 114. Now, what is now that reference which is there? That reference which is there, it is in the book. But what that reference says, that on the contrary, can you see what's meaning of on the contrary? This is about what we believe. But on the contrary, we say that so much of revelation has come down, which is not embodied in the present Quran, that if it were to be collected, its extent would undoubtedly be 17,000 verses. What this chapter says, if I read for you the whole chapter, which is not time, it will talk to you about the other revelations, which is revelation, all ahadith al-Qudsiyya, which is the communication between Allah and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, direct or through Jibreel, which Allah did not tell him to put in the Quran. It consists what? Ahadith al-Qudsiyah. So if you wanted to add Ahadith al-Qudsiyah to Quran, it was going to be 17,000 words. He says, on the contrary, we don't believe so. So the extent of Quran is the same which we have got. So that's one. So the brother says, he asked me a question that the idea of the Quran being a complete book is new to Ahlul Bayt school of thought. I completely deny that one by giving you the name of something like 55 of the grand and great ulamas that we have during the centuries, and I can be able even to tell you what centuries they were living, like Saduq, Shaykh Mufid, near to each other, Sharif, Alam al-Huda, close to Shaykh Mufid, and then we have Tabarsi, and giving you with the consecutive centuries. Like Tabarsi and Tusi and Shaykh Hilli and Sayyid ibn Tawus and Bayazi and Kalki, Fathullah Kashani, Nurullah Sustari. I mean, I can go ahead with about 50 of ulamas during the history of Islam in the last 14 centuries, one by one comes and emphasizes we don't believe in another Quran. What do you want more? Now, Saduq says, this is my book. And then, as the statement of Saduq is important because of two aspects. One, because Shaykh Saduq is the one who has written a book on our i'tiqadat, which we accepted 100%. Whatever is written in the book, Ashiyat Creed, I will accept it, no problem. Because this is the book which I tell you, my i'tiqadat is written here. Don't go and search other books which is written by another scholar which is not presenting me, because all of the ulamas during the history of Islam accept this book. So if you give me reference from this book, I don't have no problem. This is written concerning my i'tiqadat. So that's one. The second thing is he is close to the time of Imamat, and he is Shaykh al-Muhaddisin. And the other thing is that the majority of the ulama of Shia is very much agree with him. Now, the reason that Quran is not tempered with, if you look at the books of Shia school of thought and the sources that we have got in our Sunni school of thought, we have more stronger ahadith and riwayat and collections and efforts and emphasizing that Quran is not tempered with. Quran is not changed. And I will give you some of the reasons. First, the ayat from Quran, the one with the chapter Hamim, which is verse 41, chapter 41, verse 40. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. What that means? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, I guarantee that no one can do anything with this book. Immediately when Nuqsan or Ziyada come to Quran, it means batil has come to this Quran, and that's something which is against the text of Quran. That's one. The second ayah says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr, wa inna nahnu lahu lahafizun, wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah says, I will guarantee that this is my miracle to my messenger, and I am going to keep it. No matter who you are, if you are a Shia or a Sunni or a Kafir or a Murtad, whoever you are not able to do any tahrif on this book, even if you want. Even if you want. We are not able because our power, whatever we have, is less than the power of Allah. And Allah promised in His book, I will keep it and I will safeguard it. So who I am to be able to do any distortion on this book? And then from hadith, we have got lots and lots of ahadith, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got Imam Ali alayhi salam saying in Nahj al-Balagha, Kitabu Rabbukum Fikum. The book of Allah is in your hand. What book he is talking about? Is another book coming from another planet? Being in the hand of who? I mean, if there was another Quran, which I believe, definitely that Quran was going to be printed somewhere. It's going to be presented somewhere. It's going to be believed somewhere. It's going to be published somewhere. It's going to be read somewhere. And if that is the case, I would like really to find that book and to get hold of that, because I really, up to this moment, I, being a Shia scholar, being about 18 years in Hausa in school, I haven't got one. Okay. Up to this moment in my life, I haven't come across such a Quran which has got extra or less chapter than what we have here. If you find it, please, please, and please bring it to me.
Now I would like to call His Eminence Mulana Taha Kiran to respond.
Several points on which we can comment upon. First of all, there are a few corrections. Abu Ja'far ibn Baboy, Saduq, Sheikh al-Saduq, was not the closest of the Muhaddithin to the time of the disappearance, alleged disappearance of the Mahdi. He died in the year 361. Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni died 328. He was closer to him, to the Mahdi, than Abu Ja'far al-Saduq ibn Babawi. Number two, Abu Ja'far al-Qummi, that is Saduq, he lived in Qum, whereas Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni lived in Baghdad during the time of the four Ghaiba Sughra, while the four Abuab, Nawab of the Imam were still present. So that's one point. Point number two is that Sayyid Abdullah Husayni has given us a quote from As-Saduq ibn Babawi, and he has made the attempt of generalizing the view expressed by As-Saduq ibn Babawi to represent the view of all the ulama of the Shia. I don't know if you got the same impression, but the impression I got was that the quotation from Kitab al-I'tiqad of Saduq ibn Babawi was taken to be representative of the view of all of the ulama of the Shia. And this is where I beg to differ. Where I expect, or rather, for the following reasons. In the early age of the Shia, when we speak about from the year 260 onwards, more or less at that time when the Ghaiba Sughra set in, there were several authors of the Shia, several muhaddithin. There wasn't only Kulayni and Saduq ibn Babawi, there were several others. There was As-Saffar, the author of Basair al-Darajat. There was Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi, the author of the famous tafsir of the Shia, one of the earliest tafsir of the Shia. There was Al-Ayyashi, there was Kulayni's student, al-Nu'mani. There were several other people. Saduq ibn Babawi's view was a very lone view at that time. In fact, in the early history of the Shia, for the first few centuries, you will find only three of the ulama to have expressed the view which Sayyid Abdullah Husayni has expressed now. Only three of the ulama, and I can name their names because he has named them as well. As-Saduq ibn Babawi is number one. The second one is Sayyid Murtada, Alamul Huda. The third one is the author of Tafsir Majma'ul Bayan. These are the only three scholars of the early period of the Shia who have ever expressed this particular view. Now, we had a quotation from Kitab al-I'tiqad. I want to now read to you from another tafsir, if my chairperson would allow me. This is Tafsir al-Burhan, fi Tafsir al-Quran, by Sayyid Hashim al-Husayni al-Bahrani. This tafsir was printed, Dar al-Kutub al-Ilmiya, Qum, Iran. Besides this, I have several other tafsir. You see the boxes standing in front of me. This is another tafsir. There are several other books over there. We could probably go for the rest of the night paging through these books. But I want to bring to your notice that there has been a certain amount of misrepresentation here. So Bismillah, let's read from this particular book here. And then ask ourselves the question whether the view of Saduq ibn Babawi and those few other ulama that were mentioned along with him are the only views that represent the view of the ulama, of the Shia throughout history. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The chapter which we are dealing with, I'm reading from the Muqaddimah. That's the first volume. The first volume is a complete introduction. This thing is a bit in my way. Where are we? المقدمة الثانية, the second مقدمة. Remember, this book was printed in Iran not 1,000 years ago. This book was printed in Iran quite recently. From its appearance, you can see that. The chapter says that المقدمة الثانية في بيان ما يوضح وقوع بعض تغيير في القرآن. Shall I translate as I go along? Oh.
وأنه السر في جعل الإرشاد إلى أمر الولاية والإمامة والإشارة إلى فضائل أهل البيت وفرض طاعة الأئمة بحسب بطن القرآن وتأويله والإشعار بذلك على سبيل التجوز والرموز والتعريض في ظاهر القرآن وتنزيله. It's a long introduction. Basically what it says, this is an explanation of the fact that some changes did take place in the Quran. بيان ما يوضح وقوع بعض تغيير في القرآن. Then it goes on. If you permit me, I won't translate the rest of the topic because I want to get into the text. اعلم أن الحق, no, says the author, Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, a very highly respected scholar. اعلم أن الحق الذي لا محيص عنه, no, that the truth from which there is no escape. The truth from which there is no escape. بحسب الأخبار المتواترة الآتية وغيرها. In terms of the متواتر أخبار. Now I want you to understand, this is a very complicated term. It's a technical term. What's the meaning of the word متواتر? The meaning of the word متواتر is when أحاديث have been narrated in such abundance that they leave no room for doubt whatsoever. This is the meaning of the word متواتر. Sayyid Hashim Bahrani says, in terms of all of these متواتر أحاديث, in terms of all of these mutawatir ahadith, أن هذا القرآن الذي في أيدينا قد وقع فيه بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء من التغييرات وأسقط الذين جمعوه بعده كثيرا من الكلمات والآيات. Maulana can correct me if I'm translating wrongly. He says that the truth from which there is no escape, in terms of the mutawatir ahadith which we have in our possession here, is that this Quran which is in our hands, قد وقع فيه بعد, after the death of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, there has occurred in this شيء من التغييرات, there has occurred some changes. وأسقط الذين جمعوه, those who gathered this Quran together, and in my introduction I mentioned to you were those who gathered the Quran, those were Sahaba in the time of Abu Bakr, afterwards in the time of Uthman, those who gathered this Quran, they dropped out from it كثير من الكلمات والآيات, several, many words and many verses also. So then, this is one. If you want me, I'll open the next book. I don't want to take too much time. But
I have time.
I will open another book. Here I have another book. This is Tafsir al-Safi. From the looks of it, you can see it's a quite new book. I'll give you the, perhaps if I can find the correct date of publication here. Date of publication is not given, but from the looks of it, you can see it's very new, printed by Muassasat Al-A'lami in Beirut, in Lebanon. Page 52. In here, he quotes the views of... Okay, let's first start off from page 49. The author of this tafsir is Mulla Fayd Al-Kashani. He says that, أقولو, I say, المستفاد من جميع هذه الأخبار. He's first mentioned several ahadith. I don't want to read through all of them for you because it's going to take very long, but he's giving us the gist of it now. He says, المستفاد, the gist of all of this, من جميع هذه الأخبار وغيرها من الروايات من طريق أهل البيت عليهم السلام. What is gained from all of these ahadith which you have in front of us, from the riwayat, from the narrations that are narrated from the Ahlul Bayt عليهم السلام, أن القرآن الذي بين أظهرنا ليس بتمامه كما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. That this Quran which is between us ليس بتمامه, it is not completely as it was revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, بل منه ما هو خلاف ما أنزل الله. This Quran which we have in our hands, some of it is against what Allah Ta'ala, contradicts what Allah Ta'ala had revealed. ومنه ما هو مغير محرف. Some of it has been changed, some of it has been interpolated. وإنه قد حذف عنه أشياء كثيرة. And many things have been omitted from this Quran. Then he gives example of those things. He says, منها اسم علي عليه السلام في كثير من المواضع. The name of Ali عليه السلام in several places in this Quran. Now, those who have read the Quran, we have several Huffaz amongst us. And we have several of us who have read the Quran. And can anyone claim here that he has read the name of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu wa karramallahu wajhu anyway in the Quran? I ask our Shi'i brothers, our Imami brothers, our Ja'fari brothers who are present, can any of you, I don't think any of you will be able to produce the name. Here, Al-Fayd Al-Kashani, one of the leading eminent scholars of the Safavid era, of Iran tells us that the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu was omitted from this Quran fi kathirin min al-mawadi at many places wa minha ghayru dhalik. And he says, and besides this there are other changes as well, wa annahu laysa aidan ala at-tartib al-mardi 'inda Allah. The Quran as we have it now is not in the tartib, in the sequence which Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. It is not a correct sequence. In other words, Allah and His Rasul is not pleased with this particular sequence of this Quran. Then he goes on to quote Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi. Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi. I want to tell you who is Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi. Maulana, how is my time?
You have approximately 8-9 moments.
Okay. Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi is the ustaz of Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni. Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi is the ustad of the author of Al-Kafi. The Al-Kafi is the premier hadith source of the Shia Imamiyya Ithna Ashariya. Beyond that, I also want to tell you that close up to one third of all the riwayat in Al-Kafi, I have counted this personally, close up to one third of all the 16,000 riwayat that's contained in Al-Kafi, 16,000 somewhat, are narrated through Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi. He's the author of this particular tafsir. He is well known among the Shia for his extreme views on this particular issue of the tahrif of the Quran. He has filled this tahrif with ayat of with ahadith of tahrif. Qala Ali ibn Ibrahim fi tafsiri. Amma ma kana khilafu ma anzal Allah. He's giving us the examples of changes in this Quran. فهو قوله تعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. Many people know this ayah. Allah Ta'ala addresses Ummah and tells him that you are the best of Ummahs. You are the best of ummas which has been taken out for mankind. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You command the good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You prohibit the bad. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. This ayah, says Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi, was read in the presence of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiyallahu anhu. فَقَالَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, that is Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, he said to the reader, قَالَ لِقَارِئِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ تَقْتُلُونَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْحَسَنَ بْنَ عَلِي وَالْحُسَيْنَ بْنَ عَلِي عَلَيْهِمَا السَّلَامِ. Can this be a khayr ummah? Can this be the best of ummas when they kill Ali, when they kill Hussein ibn Ali? What sort of khayr ummah is this? فَقِيلَ لَهُ كَيْفَ نَزَلَتْ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. How was this ayah revealed then, O son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَقَالْ إِنَّمَا نَزَلَتْ خَيْرَ أَئِمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. This wasn't khayr ummah. The ayah that came down is that you are the best of imams. And who are the best of imams? Then of course it will refer then to the 12 imams. Is this a change in the Quran or is not a change in the Quran? I can go on. My time is limited. I would have loved to read the rest of this to you as well. But there's much, much more. In terms of names of ulama who have believed in this particular i'tiqad of tahrif, alhamdulillah, I accept that Shaykh al-Saduq, whom Sayyid Abdullah Hussein has mentioned, I welcome him in the ranks of those who accept the validity of the Quran. I welcome in the ranks of those who have accepted the validity. The following persons, unfortunately, I cannot welcome, and they are the leaders of the Sunnah, of the Shia. He says, وَأَمَّا اِعْتِقَادُ مَشَايِخِنَا رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ. As for the beliefs of our mashayikh, the leaders of the Shia, فِي ذَلِكَ فَالظَّاهِرِ مِنْ ثِقَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ يَعْقُوبَ الْكُلَيْنِ طَابَ ثَرَاهُ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَعْتَقِدُ التَّحْرِيفُ وَالنُّقْصَانِ. The Zahir, the apparent view of Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni is that he used to believe in tahrif and he used to believe in nuqsan. Interpolation of the Quran and subtractions from the Quran. وكذلك أستاذه علي ابن إبراهيم القمي فإن تفسيره مملوء منه وله غلو فيه. His tafsir is filled with this kind of ahadith and he is in fact extreme in this particular view. وكذلك شيخ أحمد ابن علي ابن أبي طالب الطبرسي. وأما شيخ أبو علي الطبرسي. And then the names go on and the names go on and the names go on. I wouldn't want to waste too much of my time by doing this. I hope I have made my point. My point is this, that when you say that, no, we Shia have never believed in this, look at what Saduq says. I say, alhamdulillah for what Saduq has said. But does Saduq represent each and every alim that ever lived? I can read pages and pages of names of ulama of the Shia who have actually believed, expressed their belief very clearly. One of the books in my box here is a book called Al-Anwar Al-Nu'maniya by Sayyid Ni'matullah Al-Jazairi. I will tell you, Sayyid Ni'matullah Al-Jazairi clearly expresses his opinion in this book. He says this Quran is muharraf. This Quran has been changed. And he tells us that how many ahadith do the Shia have to their disposal? How many ahadith do they have to their disposal to show us that the Quran has been changed? How many? He tells us 2,000 ahadith. Not one or two. 2,000 ahadith. And here in front of me, I have a very important book. This book is called Faslul Khitab Fi Ithbati Tahrifi Kitab Rabbil Arbab, written by a scholar who died about 120 years ago. His name is Allama Al-Mirza Hussein Al-Nuri Al-Tabarsi. He wrote... We don't require that. He's given us in this year over 100 pages of ahadith. Over 100 pages. See, this is the book. Here's the book. 100 pages of ahadith of the Shia, drawn from the sources of the Shia, from the most authentic of the sources of the Shia. And he tells us, here it is. You want to see where the ahadith are of the Shia, where they said the Quran is changed? Surah by surah, hadith by hadith, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, from Imam Zain al-Abidin, from Imam Ali al-Rida, from many of these Imams, Musa al-Kadhim, you name it, they are here. All of these ahadith that indicate that this Quran has been changed. Over 2,000 ahadith, Sayyid Ni'matullah al-Jazairi tells us. So when Sayyid Abdullah Husseini asks me that where is this Quran, it must have been printed, I answer by saying that the Imam himself instructed his followers that اقرأوا كما علمتم فسيأتيكم ما ينبئكم. Read this Quran as you have learned. Don't read it as I'm telling you now. Read as you have learned, because there will come to you someone, there will come to you someone who will teach you this Quran. For as long as the Imam does not return at the end of time, the Shia are bound to read the same Quran as us. They have no permission. They have no permission to reprint another Quran. They don't have the permission. Therefore, there is no Quran. No one makes the claim that the Shia have a different Quran. What we do say is the Shia legacy is filled with these ahadith. So what do we do at the end of the day? I can, for each and every name that Sayyid Abdullah Husseini can quote that they believed in the authenticity of the Quran, I can quote two or three other names that did not believe in the authenticity of the Quran. In fact, I have named some names, and I just want to make another point. Before I go on, I just want to make another point. Mullah Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi. Mullah Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi was a preeminent scholar of Safavi times. He died in the year 1111. He has several books to his credit. One of the largest books of the Shia Imamiyya Ithna Ashariya, that is Bihar al-Anwar, as well as a commentary on Al-Kafi called Mir'at al-Uqul. Mir'at al-Uqul, in there he states that the ahadith on this topic are so many that he doesn't understand how people can make ithbat, how people can prove imama on the basis of ahadith, and they don't prove tahrif on the basis of ahadith. There were some people in his time too who said, no, we don't believe in tahrif. Are you prepared to reject 2,000 of the ahadith of your imams, those whom you believe to be ma'soom? 2,000 ahadith you are prepared to reject just because Saduq had made a statement once upon a time, or Sayyid Murtada had made a statement? As I say once again, I welcome them in the ranks of those who believe in this Quran. But that does not go for the entire spectrum of the ulama of the Shia. That, unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mulana Tahakiran. Now, I would call on Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Husseini to respond for another 15 minutes.
What Sheikh Saduq believed. I started to read the list of all of the ulamas who believed on the authenticity of the same Quran and Quran not being changed, and I stopped because the time was not allowing me. And I have given you the name of 59 of the ulamas, the grand, great ulamas of Ahle Shia during the 14 centuries, which all of them believed with the same Quran. Now, I also accept it is true what the brother said, what's written in that book, with a few differences. That book which he was mentioning, it was not written by Faiz Kashani. It was by Muhaddis Kashani. And Muhaddis Kashani, in the same book, and I can show you, it has got one sentence which says, "Inna khabar al-tahrif, inna khabar al-tahrif, mukhalifun lil-kitab, mukhalifun li-kitab Allah, mukazzibun lahu fayajib radda." Whoever believe that the Quran has been distorted, this is against the authenticity of Quran. This is against the text of Quran, which says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun," and such a person is a liar. That's one. Secondly, among those people who believe in tahrif of Quran, in Shia history, only there is five ulama compared to 559. And that's why I encourage brother to extend a little bit his studies, to go and take and get hold of those other books that we have also, for him to read the book of Sheikh Hurri Amili, Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, which is one of those people who firmly believe in the same Quran, Bahrul Ulum, Kashiful Ghita, Shahshahani, Kuh Kamari, Tabrizi, Shahristani, Ashtiani, Mamakani, Balaghi, Ibn Idris, Fazil, Nahawandi, Muhammad Mohsin Amin, the recent one, Najafi, Marashi, Sheikh Sharafuddin, Sheikh Agha Buzurg Tehrani, Ayatollah Hadi Milani, Ayatollah Gulpayagani, Ayatollah Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Khui, and Najafi Marashi. You must go and just read the idea of those people to really value if these people can make a majority or not, just because there is two or three ulamas in the history of Shia who believe in Tahrif of Quran, which I don't deny. Now, that book that the brother showed, Faslul Khitab, Fi Tahrif al-Kitab. Faslul Khitab is written by Mirza Hussein al-Nuri. Now, this is very strange and very, very interesting topic. Please pay attention to this. First of all, it's his personal opinion against the majority of the ulama, of 59 people. That is one. And secondly, against this book, by the Shia ulamas, another four books has been published to criticize this book. Another four book has been published. One of them is Kashful Irtiyab Fi Fasl al-Khitab. Another four book has been written, which one of them is Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Shahristani. The other one is Sheikh Mahmoud Iraqi. The other one is Sheikh Balaghi. All of them has written books against that book. From Shia world, we don't need now the Sunni brothers to come and tell us why this book is there, because we know it is wrong, and that's why we have written books against it. So that's another story. Salasan, the third point, Sheikh Nuri himself, in page 35 of that book, he have tasrih that he is alone in this opinion. And this is not ijma of ummah, of ijma of Ahlul Bayt school of thought on distortion of Quran. That's one. The fourth point, his student is somebody called Sheikh Agha Buzurg Tehrani. He says, I heard from my teacher that toward the end of his life, he was telling me a feeling of type of remorse that why I put the name of book Faslul Khitab Fi Tahrif al-Quran, why I did not put it Faslul Khitab Fi Adam Tahrif al-Quran. That is another one. The fifth point, now this is bad news. In that book, there is 12 chapter, and I've gone through all of them, brothers and sisters, and I can prove this point from the book which is available here. Alhamdulillah. There is 12 chapter there. The first 10 chapter of that book, 99% of the references which has been given in that book is not from the sources of Shia school of thought. It has been used Sahih al-Sitta. It has been used the books of our Sunni brothers. The man from Shia world comes and write a book, Fi Adam Tahrif al-Quran, use Sunni sources. The ten chapter in that book is used. That is our strong point, that if you want to give the Shia opinion, so why don't bring the Shia hadiths? So that's one. But fortunately, the two last chapter of that book is dedicated to Shia hadiths. Okay, now what's wrong with them? In that particular 11th chapter, it particularly deals with not lafzi distortion, nothing to do addition to this Quran by words. Quran is the same, but distortion and tahrif by the meanings of Quran in tafasir. That's one. And on the 12th chapter only, we have got not 2,000. I have counted those numbers, and the brother also can go. It's 1,000 hadith. It's too much. 1,000 hadith. But listen more. Of this 1,000 hadith, which has come in that book, Faslul Khitab, 320 hadith from this 1,000 is related and narrated by somebody called Sayyari. Now, who is the Sayyari guy? He is the one which has been cursed by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam as person who fabricates hadith. Okay. Salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
From the other parts of hadith that we have got, there is another 600 riwayah there, which has come in different words, but wordings of those 600 riwayat came in that book is one. The meaning of that 600 is just one riwayat, but different type of wording. Sorry, I made a mistake. Different type of wording for just one hadith. One hadith has been said in 600 ways. Now, so this is only one hadith. So it's not going to be 1,000 anymore. It's going to be 320 plus 1. It's 321. Then the balance will be how much? 80 hadiths. Now, if you look at the other 80 hadiths, I've gone extensively to basically read that book. It's not now. I read that about 5-6 years ago, brothers. And I've got all of the... you see, I haven't come with my books here because I've got my research here. Okay. What is here, the other 80... 75 of those 80 hadiths is the common hadiths between Shia and Sunnis, which is narrated in the both books of Shias and Sunnis. It's not only narrated by Shias. That's another one. Remaining of that is how much? 5 hadiths. You want to compare 5 hadiths. And by the base of only 5 hadiths, you want to tell me that I believe another Quran. While I am with an open heart coming to you, brothers, I don't believe. Why you force me to believe in another Quran? I am saying here my ulamas, here 59 of the kibar of my ulama, here is iddia of ijma, here is my great leader Imam Khomeini, here is me as a Shia scholar in this country. I'm telling you, brothers, I don't have another Quran. Why you must force me to believe in another Quran? That's one. The other thing is, now let's go and see what is the hadith of tahrif in the Sunni world. That is interesting. First of all, brothers, let me tell you, we in Shia school of thought, we don't have no book called Sahih. Listen to this very carefully. Why? Because I can deny any hadith the brother tell me. It's not a Sahih book. It's not. I don't have a Sahih book. Of course, I don't deny it just like that. I will compare it with Quran and Aql and other things. And I will then decide if this is right hadith or not. But I don't have no book called Sahih Sitta. Or even the 4 authorized books that we have got, none of them are authorized 100%. In the contrary, let me tell you something. I've got the book of Kafi, which is very important. Kafi has got 16,000 hadiths. Now, this Kafi has been used frequently, brothers and sisters. 16,000 hadiths. Only from this 16,000 hadiths, 5,082 hadiths is recently has been researched and announced as a Sahih hadith. Among that, there is about 82 Mursal, another 152 Muwassaq, and then there is the balance of 9,522 hadiths has been announced as za'if. We don't have a book called Sahih. But our brothers in Sunni world, they have got 2 books which is called Sahih and another 4 Sunnah, which all of them is called Sahih Sitta. It means from A to Z of this book is acceptable. They say Sahih Bukhari is Ukhtul Quran. You believe Sahih Bukhari A to Z is right. So if I give you any reason from Sahih Bukhari, you don't have no right to deny. And I've given you a lot of them. Now listen to this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Musnad Ahmad Hanbal, I'll come to Sahih Bukhari later on. Musnad Ahmad Hanbal, very, it's a Musnad book. Page 129, volume 5, says that the 2 mu'awwazatayn, it means قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, is extra in Quran. Oh, please. Please. I mean, it's not this. It's intellectual debate. It's not emotional. Please. It's yeah, please.
Half. Yeah.
Exactly. It will disturb me also. Half a Suyuti in Durr al-Mansur. That's another tafsir of our Sunni brothers. Says, and Ubay. He narrates from Ubay on volume 5, page 179. Kayfat taqra suratu Ahzab aw kam ta'udduha. How you read chapter Ahzab, and how many verses in chapter Ahzab is? Qultu salasan wa sab'ina aya. I am reading 73 aya. Faqal Ubay qad ra'aytuha wa innaha latu'adil suratul Baqara. The chapter that I saw, it was equal to chapter Baqara. وَقَدْ قَرَأْنَا فِيهَا. And we used to read in that chapter what الشَّيْخُ وَالشَّيْخَ إِذَا زَنَيَا فَرْحَمُوهُمَا أَلْبَتَّ النِّكَالَ مِنَ اللَّهِ I forgot the point here. فَرْجِمُوهُمَا. Thanks very much for reminding me. When an old man and an old woman, they make zina, then have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon them and do stone. I haven't translated wrongly. Farjimuhum, I mean stone them to this. Nakala min Allah. Farafa min ha marufi. And that is not in the present Quran that we have got anymore. While this is in Hafiz Suyuti in Durr al-Mansur, which is one authorized tafsir among Sunni brothers. Hafiz Suyuti also from Aisha narrates, Kanat Suratu Ahzab mi'atay ayah. Chapter ayah was 200 ayah in the time of Prophet. Falam kataba Usman al-Musahaf. Lam yaqdar minha illa ala ma huwa al-an. And when Usman wanted to collect this, he did not manage to find more than this. And also we have from Hafiz Suyuti, from Abu Musa, from also Bukhari, narrates from the second Khalifa, says, فَكَانَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ آيَةُ الرَّاجِمِ فَقَرَأْنَاهَا. That Bukhari narrates from Umar ibn Khattab that there was an ayah called Ayatul Rajm in Quran, and that is not anymore in this Quran. So it's Bukhari, volume 8, page 28. And then there is Ayatul Raghba in Quran, which is also missing. And also even in the same chapter of Mut'a that we are talking about, there is Mustadrak al-Sahihain, that we don't add this portion in that ayah, but it is has been added there, ila ajalin, up to a certain time. And also other references. So brothers, the one who actually believe in tahrif of Quran, it's not going to be us, because we have written books against it, stacks of books, and none of the authentic ulama of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam has believed in the translation of Quran. And Mirza Hussein al-Nuri also has been criticized, and all of those people who believe in tahrif of Quran has been criticized by us all the time. So brothers, I don't have really another Quran. So please, don't push me to accept something which I didn't believe from the beginning, and I don't believe it up to the day of judgment, even if Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes. And I want to just give you the last thing. Last reference which has been given here very shortly, the complete Quran is with the 12 Imam who is in hiding. See Shiite Crete, page 110. And I will give this book to the brother for him to read from A to Z, not only page 110. If he can find that reference from Quran from this place, I will announce that I am a Sunni.